We need this. There we go. I think we got it. Yeah. Okay. He needed me to turn on the mic. All right, and that's a good thing not to be on there anyway. All right. So we're going to go ahead and cover. Yes, ma'am. From last week, you could do one of two things. You could look on with a friend that has the answers already. To do it? No, we're going to start with creation. We got to get going because creation is going to take us all day. Or rather, at least an hour. Okay? Okay, does everybody have their booklet? Yes? What's that? She what?
She raised her hand.
Oh, you have a question? What's your question? Who did what? It was Cyrus. I don't know. It's not a very wise thing to do. So we had to share with them that was wrong. Okay? All right. Why creation? You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that do not believe that God created this world. They believe that this world is an accident. That there was a big bang and the world came into existence. But that's not what the Bible says. In fact, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. There's no argument that God exists. It just says, in the beginning, God. Because the fact that God exists is seen all around us. It's seen in the world that is created, that we have today. It is seen everywhere. And so we can believe that God does exist. And I want to share with you some facts and truth in God's word that illustrates the fact that, yes, God is the creator. He did create this world, and that we can trust him. So first of all, as you look at that little booklet, we have point number one is the foundation of creation. The story of creation is found in Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The word of God says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And a lot of people ask the question, and it says, letter A, creation in six literal days. God created this world in six literal days. And some people try to expand that. They try to say, well, a day equals 1,000 years, or 1,000,000 years, or 1,000,000,000 years. Day, it comes from a Hebrew word that could either refer to a number of days or just one day. The word day, yom, could either be in reference to like the days of Noah. Well, we know that Noah lived more than just one day. He lived a number of days. So that word day could be referring to many different days and not just one. And so the Bible shares with us, though, that God created this world in six literal days. And for that word day to mean a 24-hour period, there are certain flags on the word day that identify the fact that it is a literal 24 hours. For instance, number one is three flags that proclaim six literal days. So the Bible tells us, either by context or certain words in the context that prove that it's six literal days. For instance, if you ever find the word morning next to the word day, you know it's a 24-hour period. So when it says first day, you know that it's a 24-hour period because in the morning of that day, by the time the next morning comes along, it's 24 hours later and it's the next day. So you know if you ever find the word morning next to the word day, you know it's a 24-hour period. And then also letter B, if you ever find the word evening next to the word day, you know it's a 24-hour period. And then number three, letter C is if you ever find a number next to the word day, you know it's a 24-hour period. So if a day is numbered, like the first day, second day, third day, you know that that's a 24-hour period. Same thing if you ever find the word morning or the word evening. Now, when it comes to creation, how many of those flags do we find? Like in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night." And then listen to this. "And the evening," there's the word evening, so we know that this day is a 24-hour period, right? "And the morning," there's the second flag, "morning, were the first," there's the third day, or the third flag, "was the first day." So do you catch what I'm saying? God tells us three times that day one of creation is a 24-hour period. Now, how many times does God have to say it before it's true? Just once, right? Yeah, just once. But God tells us three times that day one is a 24-hour period. He's got the evening, the morning, and the first day. Do you realize God does that for all 6 days of creation? And so what's 6 times 3? 18, right? So God tells us 18 times in the account of creation that God created this world in 6 literal days. Not 6 billion years, not 6 trillion years, but 6 literal days. God created this world in 6 literal days, and on the 7th day, he rested. It's not that God was tired. It was because God wanted to share with us and give us the work week. That was for us, because we should work 6 days and rest on the 7th, on the Sabbath. It's important. So God tells us 6 times. So when someone says, no, this world just evolved over 6 billion years. No, God created it in 6 literal days. It's not a mistake. It's not an accident. So we go on to the defeating the different theories. Scholars have come in and says, okay, they took the assumption that evolution is true. And so they looked at evolution and said, well, since evolution is true, that means then that the Bible must be, let's see if we could pack evolution into the Bible. How many of you have ever heard of the Scope Trials? Years ago in Dayton, Tennessee, they had a Scope Trial, which evolution got its foot in the door, and those Scope Trials is why we have evolution in our schools today. Because they said, okay, evolution has to be true. Even though they didn't really prove it, even though they really didn't win the argument, but it was enough of a chatter that soon they allowed evolution into the school. So then scholars said, well, let's then put evolution in the Bible. And one of these theories that they say is known as the gap theory. How many of you have ever heard of the gap theory? The gap theory, yep, some of you have. The gap theory says that between Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 and Genesis 1 verse 3, there are billions of years, and that's when creation occurred, or that's when everything evolved. But when we look at it, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, letter A is this, the definition of the gap theory. And the definition, as I said, between Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, there's a huge gap. And letter B is, context does not leave room for a gap. In fact, in Exodus 20:11, who would like to look that verse up? Exodus 20:11, go ahead and look it up real fast. And then there's also Genesis 1:31, who would look that one up for us? Okay, you got that one? Got your Bible? Look it up, Genesis 1:31. And then Romans 5:12. Who's got 5:12? You've got 5:12? Okay. Genesis, thank you. Genesis or Exodus 20, verse 11. Go ahead and read it. Very good. So God said that he created this world in 6 literal days. So the context doesn't leave room for it. The Bible clearly says God created this world in 6 days. Not 6 billion, but 6 literal days. Then Genesis 1:31. Yes, read that one nice and loud. Yes. Very good. Yes, so he said everything was very good. So if everything was very good, that means it couldn't have been over billions of years. God created the world in 6 literal days. The context does not include it, and then the clear teachings of Genesis 1:31, saying that, yes, it was 6 literal days. Now, Romans 5:12, who had that one? Yes. Is that Romans 5:12? Very good. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. So, letter D is the doctrine of sin taught in Romans 5:12. Now, the gap theory says that over millions of years, this world evolved. And over those millions of years, that is when the dinosaurs lived on Earth. And the dinosaurs, over billions of years, died off. Then man came on the scene. But that verse, Romans 5:12, listen to it. Wherefore, as by one man sin, and who's that one man? It's Adam, right? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So that says that there is no sin or no death until sin came into the world. So because there's no death before sin came into the world, that means nothing could have died before Adam and Eve were on the scene. There couldn't have been death. And God just said that everything that he created was good. Could God say that everything was good if there was death, disease, and anguish all around the world and bones from dinosaurs everywhere? God couldn't just call that good because he hates death. Death is not from God. Death is because of the choice that we have made. So because of Romans 5:12, the gap theory is wrong. There's no way. The gap theory says billions of things died and buried in sediment of sand, but that's not true. Because God's word shares with us there was no death before Adam and Eve. And the Bible also shares with us that God created the dinosaurs on day 5, the same day that he created man, or day 6, same day he created man. Man lived amongst the dinosaurs. There was no death until Adam and Eve sinned. You know, even the Flintstones have got this one right. You know the cartoons Flintstones? They, at least they've got it right. The scientists don't, but the Flintstones do. Man lived amongst the dinosaurs. So Romans 5:12 proves the gap theory is wrong. The same thing with the next gap, the definition of the day-age theory. The day-age theory says that a day is a billion years. They don't agree that a day is 24-hour period. But we know because of creation and the three flags, remember the three flags on the word day? We know that it was a 6 24-hour period. It wasn't a billion years. And so the same thing with the day-age theory, the definition of the day-age theory, that each day is a billion years. Yep. Right, that's true. Yep. So what they do is they take the Bible and they twist it. They're trying to push evolution into Scripture, trying to say, okay, since evolution thinks they have proved they're right, that they're right, then theologian says, well, the Bible and evolution can't be true, so we've got to put them together somehow. And so that's how they're doing it. They're using the day-age theory and the gap theory to try to hammer in, like with a sledgehammer, trying to get people to believe that evolution is true. And the Bible is true, too, but it can't be. Either the Bible is true or evolution is true. They both can't be true. One stands alone. And my point is that the Bible stands alone. The Bible is true. Okay, so creation on day three. Look at this. Genesis 1:12. Who'd be willing to look that verse up for me? Okay, you got Genesis 1:12? And then the other one is right next to it, Genesis 1:14 and 15. You got that one, Susan? Okay. Yep, 14 and 15. Genesis 1:14 and 15. And we're going to look at what did God create on day three, Genesis 1:12 and 13. Go ahead and read that one real loud. He's got it over here. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So we know that's a 24-hour period. That's day three. And anybody remember what did God create on day three? Plant life, trees, flowers, brush. Okay, this is God's humor. This is God's humor to prove that evolution is wrong. Look at Genesis 1:14, Susan. Read what God created on day 14, on the next day. Very good. So God created on day three, plant life, trees, flowers, roses, beautiful things. And then on day four, he created light. Okay, so let's think of this. If a day is a billion years, and God created on day three, the plant life and flowers, but then on day four, he created the light, what's going to happen to that plant life over millions and billions of years that they say it was? They would have died, right? Yeah. It doesn't make sense, does it? So that's God's humor and saying, hey, this theory is wrong. It is wrong. Same thing with Romans 5:12. You can use that to defeat that theory. Yes. That's correct. Yeah. Right. Yep. They wouldn't be around. Yep. What's that? Right, they will. Yes, very good. Good thinking. Yep. So day three and day four. Everybody got that? Any questions? Yes. You want to read the next verse? Well, let's wait. Okay, here's the next one. Genesis 5:4. You want to read that one? Genesis 5:4. Okay, very good. So here is what some scoffers ask. If this is true, if creation is true, this is the question that they ask, and that is, where did Cain get his wife? So if this is true, if creation is true, you have Adam and Eve. So when did Cain get his wife, or where did Cain get his wife? They just can't figure that out. They think, well, this is impossible. Their evolution has to be the answer because there's no answer. Where did Cain get his wife then? Well, according to Genesis 5:4, Adam and Eve had sons and daughters. That's right.
That's disgusting.
He married his sister. Now listen. Listen, when you become 800 years old, if your wife is 20 years old, younger than you are, that's not going to matter when you're 800 years old. And secondly, some scholars believe that Cain actually married a niece because there were so many that were growing and families being made. And so that's the answer. God's word is very clear that Cain married a sister or a niece. So, and the Bible shares with us. Yes. Yep, but see, back then, today, it wasn't until Moses in the books of Numbers and Leviticus, when the law was laid down, it wasn't until Moses that you're not to marry someone within the family. But the gene pool was so perfect at that time that it didn't matter. Okay? And you're right. You know, when you think about that, marrying sister? Oh! But that is what they did in order for Cain and the world to replenish itself, okay? So that's the answer to it. Here's the next one, Romans 5:12. First man was Adam, right? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And then number two, the last Adam in Romans 5:12 through 21 and 1 Corinthians 15:1. So in 1 Corinthians 15, who has the next one? I'm going to look up 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 15, whoops, 1 Corinthians 15. There we go, I knew I was wrong. 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to read verse 22. Verse 22 says this, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So Adam brought death in Romans 5:12, but the last Adam was Christ. And he brought life in 1 Corinthians. And you can also find it in Romans 5:12 through 21. Adam brought death, but Christ brought life. So since we're all found in sin, all men die. But Christ brings life, that we might have life through him. Now the next point in Acts 17:26. Who would like to look that one up? Acts 17:26, you got it? Go ahead and read it nice and loud. Very good. So all men are of one blood, all descendants of Adam. The whole world is a descendant of Adam. Now listen, listen closely. Since all men are a descendant from Adam, that means there's only one human race. There's only one race, and it's called the human race. And when people start breaking us up and making us say, hey, we're all different, no, we're all brothers and sisters. Christ died for all of us, not just for some, but all of us. Some people say, well, like for instance, me. They say that I'm white, but I'm not white. I'm olive color. And the more melanin that I have in my genes, the darker my skin color. See, I can prove that I'm not white. Watch this. Do I look white to you?
Yes. No.
No. I am olive color. Everybody has olive color skin. All of us do. Some have more melanin than others, which means that you have a darker skin color, but we're all from Adam and Eve. Remember Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth? Everybody is a descendant from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Some have darker skin color, more yellow, more dark, but it's because of the melanin in their skin. We are all descendants from Adam, which means that Christ died for us all. Since Christ died for us all, we're to share the gospel with the world, right? Now watch this. Here's a picture. Shades of skin color. When you look at these shades, yep. So depending upon the melanin in your skin, depends upon how dark your skin color is. People with more melanin are dark. People with less melanin are more of a lighter olive color. But the more melanin that you have in your skin, the darker your skin color. A is a lot of melanin, B, lots of melanin, and then the small A, small B is small amount of melanin, okay? And another picture, look at this one, here's another picture. Here you go. If Adam and Eve had little amount of melanin, the whole world would be light olive color. If Adam and Eve were both with lots of melanin, everybody in the world would have dark and lots of melanin in their skin. But Adam and Eve were right here. They had small amounts and big amounts. They had the capital A's and they had capital B's and they had small A's and small B's all mingled around with different colors. So Adam and Eve kind of look like Israel today with light brown color, little bit of melanin. And so therefore the world either has a light, depending upon which way your genes go. If you have capital A's, you're darker skin. So Adam and Eve were right here in the middle, which means that everybody in the world had a chance to have more melanin than others. And so at the Tower of Babel, when the languages were broken up, different people with more melanin had different languages, and God split the world and having darker skin and lighter skin. So these people who are prejudiced, in fact, colleges today split people up. They put different groups, and I mean, I think they're making it even worse. People that hate people because of the color of their skin, and the color of our skin is only a 16th, less than that, deep. Everybody is created there from Adam and Eve. Okay, we got a question here? You don't understand what? About melanin? Melanin is in your gene pool, okay? And it depends upon how much melanin. So here, like here, what color was Adam and Eve's skin? They were right here. And because Adam and Eve had a little bit of melanin, they had a big amount and a small amount, then the world is either light olive color or dark olive color. We all have the same color of skin, and that's an olive color. Some just have more melanin than others, okay? So when someone's prejudiced and they hate somebody because their skin is dark, the Bible shares with us that we're all from Adam and Eve. Every one of us are from Adam and Eve. We're very special, and God loves us. And when you look at this and see that we're all from Adam and Eve, and people ask, well, how can we all be from Adam and Eve? Because we have darker melanin skin and lighter melanin skin. How could that be true? Well, it's very true. Even in the world today, we can see couples getting married and some have darker skin than what they think they're going to have, because we're all created from we're all from Adam and Eve. Yes. Well, it's because they had no melanin in their gene pool. Yes. Yes, okay. Well, he's actually darker, but okay. Any other questions? All right. Okay, let's go on. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23 is the consequences of creation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans verse 18 says this. Okay, listen up real close. Listen up real close. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. So here's people that deny that God created this world and that the world just evolved, that it just happened. So against all godliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, that God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So some people have said, okay, what about somebody in the darkest parts of this world that they never hear of Christ, never hear of him? No, listen. They never hear of Christ. When Christ returns, will God send them to hell? The answer is yes, he will, because God is holy. And because creation proves that there is a God. Do you hear what that says? Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Creation alone proves that there is a God, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, that they are without excuse. That's why Satan is trying to defeat creation. He's trying to prove that the world came about by evolution. But God's word says that men are without excuse because of creation alone. Do you see what I'm saying? So just the fact, you know, you might find somebody deepest part of this world, never heard of Jesus, they will go to hell because of creation alone. Creation alone proves that there is a God and that God does exist and that they need to repent. In other words, if someone were to say, hey, I know there's a God. I know there's a God. Will you reveal yourself to me? And that's exactly what God will do. He will reveal himself to you. You have a question? Yep. If they believe the one true God, yes. They will hear. I believe with all my heart, if they are interested in knowing about the one true God, God will reveal himself. Someone will come along and share with them the truth of the gospel. So here's the answers. So Romans chapter 1, 18 through 23 clearly teaches through creation his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his Godhead, and last of all, his condemnation of sinful man. So creation alone, just a second, Molly. Creation alone proves the invisible attributes of God, his eternal power, his Godhead, and last of all, his condemnation of sinful man. Because creation alone proves that there is a God, and that God hates sin, and that he one day will rule and reign in this world. Molly, you have a question? Well, the people that want to go to heaven? They choose it themselves. If they say, hey, you know, I want to go to heaven, when I hear the gospel and they respond to it, they're told about what God will do for them, that Christ died for them, that they might have eternal life. Yep. Okay. So Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 23 proves that in creation alone proves that there is a God. Okay, any questions? All right. Everybody got those blanks? No? Prove his invisible attributes, his eternal power, the fact that he is God, his Godhead, and fourthly, his condemnation of sinful man. His condemnation of sinful man. Okay, let's go on. Letter or number two. All right, come on, what's going on? Oh, there it is. All right. The firmament above. Here we go. Firmament above in Psalm 19, verse 1. Do you have that verse? Psalm 91, you got a question? What's that? Okay, look on with a friend or I'll help you in a little bit, okay? Yes, you can look on to a friend. It's not cheating. In Psalm, whoops, I'm in Job already. You're in Psalm 19:1? Here we go, Psalm. Okay, read it. Very good. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now watch this. Watch this. The moon rotates around the earth and a month is made. Let's think about the world that we live in. The moon, when it rotates around the earth, a month is made, right? And the same thing, the earth rotates around the sun and a year is made, right? So the moon, when the moon rotates around the earth, it takes a whole month. It takes a month for the moon to rotate around the earth. It takes a whole month. And so the moon rotates around the earth. The earth rotates around the sun and a year is made. A year is made. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this, okay? Letter C is this. And Antares is in Scorpio constellation. Antares is a star that's in Scorpio. Now, you can see the stars at night, right? And right about September, you can see Antares in the southwest corner of our sky. Antares is a scorpion. And you can see it, and this is what it looks like. Here's what it looks like. Here's Scorpio, and Antares is the heart of the scorpion. Antares. How many of you have ever seen Antares? Anybody ever see it in Scorpio? You've seen it? Yes. So that is a star that's in the sky. Now listen to this. Here is our Earth. Here's our Earth. It's at the end of the arrow. See that? Right there is the earth. Nope, it's our earth. It's just a pinprick. It's just a pinprick. Antares, look at how big it is compared to our earth. See how big it is? Antares, listen to this. Antares is 3 times the size of our Earth's rotation around the sun. 3 times the size. Antares is huge, isn't it? I mean, it is 3 times as big as our Earth's rotation around the sun. And God created that. God created that. I'm trying to share with you how big our God is. You got a question? What's that? Our sun is 100,000 times bigger than the earth. Our sun. So I am not sure if Antares is as big. I think it's smaller than our sun. Okay, any other questions? Yes? What's that? What happens what? When the sun stops? Well, if the world stops, we'll die.
Yeah.
Huh?
We'll die.
Yeah. Yeah, we would freeze to death. We would die. The earth has gravitational pull. Even if the gravitation were to get bigger or less, we would die. What's this? Well, the closer you get to the sun, the hotter it gets. Okay? You have a question? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. The moon's not even on here. The moon is smaller than our Earth. this is our earth, and then Arctis, these are different names of the different stars in the sky. Okay, let's look at the next one. Letter D is Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse is in the Orion constellation. Yeah, real quick. We got to get going. How do we what? I don't know. There you go. So Betelgeuse is in the Orion constellation. The Orion constellation. And this here is Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse is just 2.5 times the size of our Earth's rotation around the sun. And I'm telling you this because our God is a huge God. Look at what he created. He created the world around us, and he created you and me, and God loves us. Even though we are we're just a pinprick in the solar system. This earth is just a pinprick compared to what God has created. God is an awesome God. Okay, and that's what the Orion looks like. It's got three stars in its belt, and the right shoulder, which is on the left side of the Orion, is Betelgeuse. And Betelgeuse, 2.5 times the size of our Earth's rotation around the sun. It is huge. It is huge. Okay? And then we have letter E. The Earth is in the Milky Way galaxy. The Earth is in the Milky Way galaxy. And this is what the Milky Way galaxy looks like. Yep. Now, the Milky Way, just hold on. We got to keep going. No. The Milky Way, we're right about in the second band is where we live. And the Milky Way, that's not even our sun in the middle. You can't see the sun, but we're in the middle of that Milky Way. It takes 93 billion light years to go from one side of the galaxy to the other. 93 billion light years. And light travels like 183,000 miles a second. That is not a small place. And that's where we live, the Milky Way galaxy. There are over 700 billion galaxies around our solar, around the sky. I mean, we are small compared to this galaxy. And God created it. God created it. We need to keep going, okay? Put your hands down. You can ask me later, okay? Yep, right there in the middle of the Milky Way. You're right. Yep. So God, listen, God created us. Like he said, God created us. If our earth was closer to the middle, we'd be sucked into the dark, into the black hole. If it was further out in the galaxy, we would be pelted with all the different comets and dust and dirt. So God placed us, listen, God placed us right at the perfect place for life to exist. That's not an accident. God had to do it. It's not an accident. And that's the whole point of this seminar, that God created you and me. Even though the world we live in is so vast and so huge, God created all this. Let's look at the next one. The finite facts. This is the finite facts. This is the smaller thing. So we looked at the fact that God is so big. He is so big. And letter A is information. And that information is found in what is known as DNA. DNA is so small that if you were, listen to this, your information in your body alone, if you were to take the DNA of your body alone and put it end to end, it would go to the moon and back 3 times. Yeah, you would die though, but the information that's in your body, if you put the DNA end to end, it will go to the moon and back 3 times. What I'm saying is there is so much information in your body alone that proves that there is a creator. Even if one small change was made in your DNA, you would not exist. You just won't exist. There had to have been a perfect designer to create you and me. God is an awesome God. Think about this. Paper in the woods with writing on it. If you're walking along in the woods and you think, oh, nobody's ever been here before, you come up to this piece of paper. What do you start thinking? Do you think, oh, that just evolved over millions and billions of years and there's writing on it? No. If there's writing on that piece of paper, you know that there has to be an intelligent individual who wrote it, right? It didn't just appear. There had to have been somebody that made the paper, had to have been somebody that did the writing, right? There had to have been a designer. You do not walk through the woods and find a chair made of trees and wood and look at it and say, oh, I wonder how many billions of years it took for that chair to evolve. No, a man had to do it, right? It did not just happen. Information does not just happen. Look at this one here. A rocky mountain. If you go out and you look at a rocky mountain, look at this rocky mountain here. Here's a rocky mountain. It's a rocky mountain, right? Now let's say over millions and billions of years, you have snow, rain, thunder, lightning. And today, billions of years later, that mountain doesn't look like that anymore. That mountain now looks like this. Yeah. Now, when you look at that, do you believe that that took millions and billions of years to form? No, right? Why? Because it's man-made, but also what else? It has information, right? Who is this guy on the left side? Who is this? George Washington, right? Listen. Yep. So there's too much information there just to have happened. You see what I'm saying? If there's information, there has to be a designer. There has to be somebody who made it, somebody who designed it. It didn't just happen, just like you and me. We did not just happen. So evolution is just like this. They look at that mountain and say, oh, over millions and billions of years, there's lightning and rain and storm, and it doesn't look like it. It looks like this now. But we look at that and say, no way, that's impossible. There's too much information there, right? There's too much information for that to have just happened. There's got to be a designer. And it's the same thing with creation. There has to be a designer. And then B, the smallest details called laminin. Laminin. In Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 3, listen to this. This is really a good verse. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So it says here that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Did you know that they have never figured out how the human cell stays together? The human cell has neutrons, protons, and electrons. Those human cells, if they were just put together by man, they would explode. They would fly apart. But there's something that holds it all together. And that is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ holds it all together by the word of his power. All he has to do is speak and this world would literally fly apart in flames. It would explode. But Christ holds it all together. Laminin, they have just found out and realized that laminin is, let's say, the glue that holds it all together. Laminin comes from the word lamination, to hold together, to laminate. And they did a research on what does laminin look like. And laminin, when they researched it and finally were able to find a microscope strong enough to see it, this is what laminin looks like. Does that look familiar or remind you of anything? How about the cross? The cross. Look at this. Laminin is what holds it all together. This laminin, the Bible shares with us that Christ is the key. He is the one that holds everything together by the word of his power. And we can believe that his word is true. Not only is God in control of the big things, but he's also in control of the little things. That the little things in our life, that God has it all under control, and that we can trust in him and believe his word to be true. Here is Jesus Christ. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, Colossians 1:17. He holds everything together. He is the one who created this world. He's the one who holds it all together. He created it in six literal days. But yet Satan, because he knows that creation alone will send someone to hell. Just the fact that you see the world around us and know that there had to been a designer, there has to be a creator, and that we must call upon his name and trust in him. Satan knows that, and Satan will do everything to defeat it. With evolution, trying to say this world just happened, we are an accident, we are a mistake. No, we're not a mistake, we're not an accident. Not only is God in control of the big things like Antares and Betelgeuse, but he's also control of laminin and also a melanin. He's control of all things. So here's letter four. This part here, the ending of it, this just proves what or how to witness to somebody that does not know Christ. Now this here, I'll just go through it really quick. You do not have to, from here on, you don't have to have these blanks filled in, but I want you to understand what I'm saying here, that there are two types of people in the world today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, there are the faithful application, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23, it says this. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 23 says, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul." Whoops. That's not what I want. What is it? 1 Corinthians 1:23. Oh, it helps me to be in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:23 says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." So the Jews, when they hear about Christ, they stumble over it. But the Greeks, they look at it as being foolishness. There are some people that don't even believe in God, that God exists. That's the Greeks. The Jews, they reject the cross, because they stumble over it. They stumble over it because they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for the sins of the world. And so when you look at the two views, the Greeks, they call it foolishness, and the Jews, they stumble over it. The religious people think, well, the cross is not true, we're going to stumble over it. But the Greeks deny it. And that's where we are today. The world here in America are like the Greeks. They call it foolishness. So the question is then, how do we witness to the world around us? We witness to them by sharing with them, first of all, that God does exist, that there is a creator. If we talk to a religious person, we have to share with them that Christ really is who he claims to be. So the purpose of this is to share with us, well, how do we witness to our friends? If we're talking to a friend that doesn't even believe God exists, we need to start from the book of Genesis and share with them that God created this world and he does exist. That's going to take a long time, huh? But if it's an individual who is religious, but yet lost and do not know Christ as their Savior, we have to start with the fact that Jesus is who he claims to be, that he is the Son of God. And so there are two paths that people are on today. The religious path that denies Christ is really who he claims to be, and then the Greeks who deny the fact that God even exists. So the purpose of this section is to share with us as believers, how do I witness to my friends? Where do I start? Do I start with creation, or do I start with Christ really is who he claims to be? Okay? Anybody have any questions real quick? Nope. Okay, so you have that filled in up to here. So you have the cross, and it's a stumbling block, and what the Jews believe, that Jehovah Yahweh, he truly is the one true God, that God was the creator, that man fell in sin, and that sin brought death into the world, and that's the whole purpose for this section. And then when you come to the next one, it talks about the fact that the Greeks don't even believe that God exists, and the way we witness to them is to share with them, first of all, that God does exist, and that Christ died for them, and that they might have eternal life. All right, so the purpose of this is to help us on where do we stand. You know what pastor believes. You know what maybe your mom and dad believes. The question is, what do you believe? Do you believe that God is the actual creator of this world, that he designed it, and that we need to trust in him? I want you to develop your own convictions, that as you grow up and leave home, that you see the importance of going to church and living a life that's well-pleasing and glorifying to God, to serve him with all your heart, and to realize that God's word is true, that I can believe it, and that I believe that, yes, the Bible is the inspired word of God, and that God created this world, that I'm not an accident, that I'm not a mistake, that God is the designer of this world today. Because evolution believes, hey, that you're just a mistake. You're an accident. It doesn't matter what you do. You can be involved in alcohol and drugs and just destroy your life. Just have all the good time that you want. But God's word shares with us that, no, there is a God, and that he did create this world, and that we have a responsibility. Okay? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Don't just jump up and leave. Let's take a little bit. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. And Father, I pray that you'll use these things to grip our hearts, to help us to realize that you are God, that you do love us. Even though you're in control of the big things, even though you created Antares and Betelgeuse, you also created me. And I am important in your eyes. I'm created in the image of God. All those worlds around us and stars, those were created by you too, but they don't have a spirit. They won't spend eternity with you, but we will. And Father, I pray that we'll see the responsibility of where we stand, what we believe, and what we say and do, that Father, it might be patterned after you, that we might live a life well pleasing and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, anybody have questions real quick? Okay, let's have this section go first. You guys are dismissed first over here. Okay, and then the middle section. Thank you so much. Remember, you want to get those all filled in. Have it done so I can see it later, and we're going to have a pizza and movie night. Those of you that have it done and have worked on it and completed it. So if you do not have the first ones done, go find a friend or listen to it on the internet. It is on the internet if you like to do that on the Bible stands. Or find a friend that has it and make sure you get it all filled in. All right, third section, you are dismissed. Thank you, Dana.